Boss Man Show. We're here with Will Gillard down in New Orleans of the Athletic, covering the Pelicans. Will, what's good in the city of New Orleans, man? What's good down with y'all guys down there, man? I know y'all happy as heck down there.
Oh, man, it's been a completely different vibe than what it was a couple months ago, that's for sure. But, yeah, man, it's just a whole bunch of people walking around with smiles on their faces. I see a whole lot of little Pelicans jerseys. I mean, Pelicans shirts and Pelicans jerseys walk around the city as well. Yeah, just right for October to get here.
I hear that. No, Will, I saw you guys when y'all came to Atlanta. AD played 3/4, 7 minutes of L-pop. And I just want to ask you, how awkward was that situation last year with AD, knowing he wanted to trade in and knowing that he had his whole set, we played 7 minutes each quarter and he was playing 4th quarter. How weird was that in the second half of the year?
It was a very weird vibe. I mean, I haven't been in this business extremely long. You know, I was not going to pretend like one of these guys have been in there for 20 years, but it was nothing like I've ever seen before and anything I've ever heard of. And I think one of the strangest parts is that, you know, everybody just kind of accepted it. It wasn't like there was beef in the locker room or any animosity towards AD. It was just kind of acceptance that the era was over, that AD, you know, decided that he wanted to go and that, you know, this experiment they tried to make work for 7 years, it was just over. And guys just was kind of walking around like, yeah, that's it. And it was weird just to see guys, you know, who it was just the previous year, they were in the playoff run. They swept the Blazers in the first round. And then, you know, a year later, guys were just done with it. And it just shows you how fast things change in the NBA. But I think, you know, the beauty of this situation is that they were able to rebuild this entire thing so quickly, and they have a new star in place with Zion, and it's insane to think where they were then and where they are now.
Exactly. Now, I'm asking you this. Would Boogie Cousins, he not got hurt, you think they would have maybe changed the AD situation where he's probably gone no matter what if Boogie had been healthy and Boogie got paid, like he wanted to get paid? Because I feel like that against Houston, he tried to kill somebody that the franchise changed right there. And I think now, looking down the road, it's for the better than that with Zion and David Griffin after him over Dale Dempsey, what you had previously.
Man, it's crazy. I've thought about that question so many times just because, you know, obviously AD and Boogie were so tight, and I think people forget that Boogie was playing incredible basketball that year before he got hurt. I mean, just putting up numbers that we've never really seen before at the center position when he's got a guy like AD right next to him. And I always think about what they would have looked like if they had a chance to really play a playoff series and the team had to figure out how to stop both of those guys for 7 games. I don't even know if there's an answer to stop both of those guys when they were really in their prime. But I think ultimately, for this team to get where they are now, I think, as crazy as long as it might have been the best thing that ever happened to them, that it worked out the way they did, because they were able to turn AD into a bunch of different assets. They were able to open up their salary book. I think, you know, paying AD and paying Boogie that amount of money that they were looking for, that was pretty much going to be the team. And then, you know, there were questions about whether Jrue Holiday was even going to come back that year after, you know, Boogie, you know, got here. And then it was a whole lot going on with that team. But I think, just kind of clearing the books of that, I think it was the best thing that could have happened to this team. And I think ultimately putting Jrue in the position where he is now, I think it's completely changed his career. And I think he has a chance to really put himself in a really different echelon as the number one guy on this team.
Yes, indeed. Now, I want to ask you, what was the truth behind the Lakers-Pelicans deal before in February? What was really going on? Like, you know, you watch ESPN, you watch FS1. I don't like to watch those stations because I feel like they just all spitting takes they don't even believe. It's all BS to me. I really ask reporters on the ground. So what was the real truth behind what's going on? Was there ever close to being a deal? Was that just Dale Demps playing with Magic Johnson and they're playing with each other pretty much there?
I think ultimately, I think it was very personal. I think, you know, there was a lot of animosity on both sides, just the way the entire situation was handled from the announcement to the leaks from both sides. I think, personally, I think there was 0% chance Dale Dempsey was ever going to trade AD to the Lakers during the season. I think no matter what they offered, I think the Lakers tried their best to kind of put the pressure on the Pels and get they were the Pelicans everything they could possibly want it, and the Pelicans were still saying no. And I think, you know, just that whole game that both sides were playing, I think it got way too personal. Like I said, I think ultimately there needs to be a change, just because that's not the way you really should run business. You know, even if you don't like what another team's doing, it shouldn't get to that point where one side isn't answering the other side's phone calls. And, you know, as soon as you hang up the phone, you're leaking it 5 minutes later and it's on Twitter. I think that's just a real nasty way to handle business. And I think just the way it played out, I think ultimately it was the best thing that could have happened, like I said, to the Pelicans, because they got young guys like Lonzo and Brandon Ingram in house, and they got a ton of picks for the future. And I think, you know, there's a whole lot of luck involved, but I think you can't get there unless you keep all options open. And when things were being handled the way they were, there was no way a Lakers deal was going to be happening. I think you had to stay open-minded to it, because that may have been the best offer out there. And I think, you know, yeah, it was just really bad all around, but I think doing the deal the way they did was the right way to do it.
And bring in David Griffin. I mean, he arguably done a good job in Phoenix, did a good job in Cleveland. He's shown to be one of the better GMs in the NBA for his creativity with deals and making trades. So having him now at the helm as the executive vice president of basketball operations at the Pelicans, and him wanting to put more resources into the medical staff, into the front office staff, scout analytics. So what have you seen from the short time you've known David Griffin, and what he's trying to tell you guys, what he's doing with the organization and getting the Benson family to pay more money on the Pelicans side, not so much just giving it all to the Saints side?
Yeah, I think it's incredible how much he's changed the culture within that organization in a matter of months. I think, just like you said, a big part of it is Gail Benson and the fact that she's invested in this team more than she ever has, not only with money, but just her time and just her attention. And I think that was the big thing that was missing, was just her, you know, investment in the team overall and just caring about the direction of things. And I think she was more the type that willing to just let things, the people under her handle it. And, you know, I think ultimately it got to the point where things got so bad with AB, she kind of looked around and said, nah, we got to change this up. Something has to change, because we're looking like a laughing stock of the league. And she never wanted to be that. So I think David Griffin changes as much as he has. And I think bringing in people like Trajan Langdon, like Swingcast, like Aaron Nelson, I think that's been his big thing. Is obviously he's going to get a lot of the praise whenever something good happens with this team, but I think he wants to always surround himself with people, you know, that can always help in their different ways and give different input. And I think Trajan Langdon played a big part in that draft, other than Zion, getting guys like Jackson Hayes and Nikhil Alexander Walker. And I think he wants to continue adding people to the organization like that to make his job easier and to add different assets. And I think that's the way you build a good organization. It's not just one guy at the top that's, you know, the smartest person in the room. It's that you have different levels and different people that specialize in certain areas, and you take advantage where you can. And I think that's been a thing that they've improved tremendously over the past few months.
No, Will, that trade with the Hawks, it made me angry, because I feel like we gave up too much to y'all. I really believe that we gave up too much. I don't understand what we were doing. I mean, that's just too much that we gave up to get DeAndre Hunter. That's what Travis Link wanted. All good, but those picks you got from the Hawks, you got to take Solomon Hill's contract, and we get nothing.
I want to say the Pelicans saying thank you for that, for taking the Solomon Hill contract. I tell you that they couldn't wait to get Solomon Hill up out of here.
I know, right? I was like, what are we doing? We in a first round, but you giving up a future pick for that? I mean, you taking on money. What are we doing? You know, I'm like, it would just blew my mind. But that really helps you guys out with getting Jackson Hayes and those guys, man. And the guy at 17, Alexander, so I'm like, you all have a young nucleus in New Orleans, man. It's going to be fun to watch. Like, so you get the ball. Ingram comes back from his blood clots. And, you know, giving those guys Josh Hart. And you got Redick now as well. So the Pelicans could be sneaky good in the West this year, because they retooled on the fly. A lot of the Clippers did last season.
That's incredible, because I think a lot of the downfall with the previous regime was their, you know, dedication of putting a winning team around AD at all costs. And they would, you know, trade off picks and give off these big contracts to hope of building the team around AD that could compete and convince him to stay. And I think what's incredible is that not only that they got this guy, Zion Williamson, who could be the future of the league, but they surrounded him with a team that's going to put him in position to compete immediately and to fit his style of play and guys that fit his personality. And I think, just like you said, I think the team is going to be dangerous in the West next year, which is insane for them to lose a top five player and maybe even be better than they were last year with that guy. And I think, you know, that says a lot about what David Griffin was able to do in that AD trade. And I think a big part of this team's success is going to come down to, you know, those two Lakers guys, Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. Can they make that jump? Can they stay healthy? Can they, you know, because we know what Drew Holiday is going to bring. He's one of the best two-way players in the league. He's probably going to average a career-high points next year. He's going to take on that role of being the guy, and I expect him to excel in that. But I think he's going to need some help. And guys like Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram have to be great next year. And we've seen flashes from them, but we haven't seen it for an entire 82-game season. And I think if we see those guys really step up in a big way, this team has a chance to get there in the West for sure.
And a sneaky good move, hiring Jeffrey the Delegate as the defensive coordinator on his staff, man, on coaching industry staff, because Jeffrey the Delegate is a heck of a coach, and Houston panicked and got rid of him, being Houston, and I think it's benefiting you guys as well.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing for this team is just getting things right on the defensive end. We know got a ton of offensive talent throughout the roster, but I think whenever you got a roster full of young guys, a team with a lot of change on the you know in the rotations and you know new guys, new faces, I think it's going to be a lot of you know bumps and bruises for them figuring out how to really defend consistently on a night-to-night basis. But I think you know ultimately they have guys that want to do it. They have guys that are committed to that, and I think Zion is going to bring that presence. I think getting a guy like Derek Favors is going to help them a lot. You know, having a steady veteran down there in the paint that can rebound and block shots. But I think, you know, that's really what's going to, you know, determine how far this team goes is they can defend. Because if they can defend, we know with Alvin Gentry, they're going to get out and run. They've got Lonzo, Zion, True. Those guys are going to get out and they're going to score and get their highlights up. But they got to be able to get stops. And it's tough, you know, when you got so many young guys. But I think bringing in new guys to the coaching staff, I think that's going to help a lot as well.
That's one I got for you, Will, is this. Zion signed a deal with Jordan Brand. He's now a Jordan Brand shoe guy. So, how many commercials you'll see of Zion on TV or with Nike now with them shoes and his big smile showing to see New Orleans doing you guys proud. Hopefully he'll stay for you guys all the way through that, but you got it for 6 years at least. But how you feel about the deal he got with the Jordan brand there?
Man, it's going to be really interesting because the funny thing is, you know, Zion just got to the league, and I would say he's probably already one of the biggest stars around. Just seeing him out there in summer league and seeing the crowds that were out there and the way people were reacting just to seeing him walking around and, you know, the 9 minutes that people are always remember him out there in Vegas with his couple of highlight plays, I think it's going to be crazy to see, you know, how much of a seller he's going to be. How big is his shoe brand going to be? Can he be the next big shoe guy in the league? And I think it's kind of been up in the air, you know, with LeBron, you know, coming towards the end of his career, figuring out who that guy is going to be. And I think Greek Freak obviously just got his shoe going with the Air Freaks, I think he calls them. And now we might get the Air Zions and see how big this shoe can really be because, you know, this guy, just like I said, he's going to be one of the biggest faces in the league. If he can become a brand that's becomes of the LeBron level, of the Kevin Durant level, that could change a lot for this organization and this city as a whole.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're looking forward to seeing what you guys do, man, and enjoy the Hawks picks, man, because you fleeced us.
Man, I'm telling you, the Pels fans love them some Nikhil Alexander Walker and Jackson Hayes. Those dudes were incredible out there in Vegas. So, yeah, we were there. I think the Pels fans are pretty good with that trade. Yeah, y'all can enjoy it, man, for him.
Yeah, I'll try my best, man. Hey, man, y'all hold it down in the end, old man. We'll see the city, man, when the Hawks come down and the Falcons come to play them Saints, man. Well, I definitely had to hit you up then. All right, brother?
Absolutely, man. I'll holler at you later.
No doubt, folks. It's Will Guillory on the Boss Man Show.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting or Twitter at Coach TWill24 or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
All right, folks, back in the Boss Man Show here with Michael Penny of SB Nation. That's NBA ball with him. Mike, what's good, brother?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Getting ready to this training camp routine, man, and the Hawks coming up real soon. So just getting back in the groove. The summer's over for me now. It's time to get back to work once again, radio, covering and traveling again, brother.
Attaboy, that sounds awesome.
Yes, indeed. Well, Mike, let me ask, start up the Wizards, man. They got in the front office. They finally hired Tommy Shepard officially. They got Brown coming in from the old Cleveland Browns. He got also John Thompson III. And they also talking about offering Beal a max contract of 3 years, $111 million. If I'm Bradley Beal, I got to see what y'all going to do. I'm not going to accept this deal at the moment. If he declines their max offer, let's start a clock on trading Bradley Beal maybe to a Miami or somewhere else to get him off the books and maybe start the Wizards total rebuild that should come, not knowing if Wall going to be back to who he used to be after the injuries that he's had.
Yeah, I definitely think that if Beal were not to accept the max contract extension, I think it's $111 million. It starts in a couple years. I'm right on with what you're saying. If I were him, I would wait to see what the plan was before I accepted. I only have until October to really accept this particular extension so if I say no and then head into the remaining 2 years on my deal, if I were the Wizards, I mean, you got to trade that contract for a couple reasons. I mean, primarily, this is a great time to get a huge haul for a star like Beal, who is, I believe, 25, 26 years old, coming off a season where he probably should have been on the All-NBA team. You know, one of the game's better scorers at his position, at a very thin position. You can get a haul for Bradley Beal. And I was personally a little surprised that the Wizards did not engage more with the Clippers, who had reportedly sought out his services in a trade that would have brought him there along with Kawhi Leonard instead of Paul George. So you can only imagine what the haul was being offered in that deal and what the trade packages would be going forward, particularly in a climate where there's really no boogeyman right now in the NBA. And so a lot of teams will view Bradley Beal as the missing piece to win a championship. And so if I were the Wizards, I would 100% look to shop him. Publicly, I would obviously say that I am not going to trade him so that his value is not completely shot. But privately, I would definitely be throwing his name out there to different teams, seeing what I could possibly get for him.
Now, Michael, I read the story about Al Horford calling Danny Ainge's tampering claims against Philadelphia, which was ridiculous. I was shocked Al Horford opted out, but I was hoping he wasn't being silly and doing it, but obviously he wasn't when he opted out of the contract with the Celtics. Did this shock you guys in Boston when he actually opted out of that deal? Because I thought his own opt-out of maybe signing a lower deal on a three or four-year deal with Boston, maybe 4 years, $80 million. He ended up getting 4 years, $109 million for Philadelphia, but $97 of that million guaranteed. So did that throw you all off and that actually went down that way?
Yeah, it did. I think that the Celtics I think a lot of people expected him to opt out because he's coming off a very good season, and this was an opportunity for him to sign a long-term deal and secure a lot of money given his age. That would probably be the wisest move for him. I think the Celtics were caught a little bit off guard when he opted out and then cut off negotiations almost immediately, knowing that he had the Philadelphia 76ers offer in hand. It's a bummer for Boston. If they were able to keep Al Horford somehow and still get Kemba Walker and make some of the other signings that they've made this summer, that team is potentially a championship contender, or should be viewed as a championship contender heading into next season, regardless of the loss of Kyrie Irving. There's a lot of upside on that roster still. You would have Gordon Hayward coming back from, or 2 years removed from his devastating leg injury, potentially looking like the all-star that they thought they signed a couple summers ago. You would have Jason Tatum in year three, Jaylen Brown in year four, Marcus Smart suddenly coming off an all-defensive season where his three-point shooting was up to a respectable level. I think that team would have an extremely high ceiling, but it didn't work out that way, and I guess they have to kind of downshift a little bit. Still going to be very good, still have a lot of assets, but not quite as good, I think, had they been able to retain Al Horford.
I hear that. Now, in the Eastern Conference, where do you see them slotting themselves now with the Kemba Walker and Ennis Cantor signing and the draft picks that they will be bringing in this next season here?
Yeah, I think Boston is still, they should be aiming for home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. I don't think that there are three teams definitively better than them in the Eastern Conference. You have at the top, if I had to tier the teams a little bit, I would have Milwaukee and Philadelphia in some order. And then, you know, even though Toronto lost Kawhi Leonard, I think that that team bounced back pretty well with some of the types of players that they signed this summer, you know, athletic long wings. I think their defense will be extremely good. Pascal Siakam should make another leap forward, and everybody else except for Danny Green has been retained on that roster. So I think Toronto is respectable. I think, you know, Indiana, depending on when Victor Oladipo comes back and how good he looks, they'll be a threat. Brooklyn obviously added Kyrie Irving, and they also lost a few pieces. But Brooklyn will be interesting. I mean, you know, Miami's there. We'll see what they can do with Jimmy Butler and the supplemental pieces around him. But to answer your question, I think Boston would be very, very disappointed if they did not finish with a top four seed in next year's playoffs.
Speaking of Miami, Chris Paul trade, potentially it's kind of been put on hold. Miami wants their picks back from OKC to take on his contract. Do you think a Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul pairing potentially could make some noise in the Eastern Conference, where it is pretty much a 4 or 5 seed? Maybe they won't go very far or get past Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia, or Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, in the regular season, they probably wouldn't be as fierce as they would be in the playoffs. You know, Chris Paul is getting up there in age. I think he's 34 right now. Jimmy Butler, I think, is 30, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, those guys.
Miles on him too.
Exactly. Very, very good point. So, I mean, you look at the roster that Miami has, there are still some really good pieces there. Justice Winslow, I think Kelly Olynyk is a really good supplement. Bam Adebayo, I love as a starting five now that Hassan Whiteside is kind of out of the picture. And then the rookie that they drafted, Tyler Herro from Kentucky, he really impressed me at Summer League in Las Vegas. So I think that they have a pretty good roster. And, you know, as we saw last year in the playoffs, Jimmy Butler in crunch time with the ball in his hands is still one of the 15 best players in the world. So if he were able to carry that over and kind of fill the role that James Harden had beside Chris Paul last year in Houston, the past 2 years in Houston, then I think that that team could be really interesting, and I don't think anyone would want to play them in a playoff series.
Speaking of James Harden in Houston, how do you see the fit between Westbrook and Harden in their current incarnations of who they are? Because I don't see the fit. The best fit I can see is if you put Russell on the ball and James Harden off the ball, but that's not what Harden wants to do. So I just see that going bad fast.
It'll be really interesting. I think this is one of the more fascinating tandems the league has ever seen, even though we've technically already seen them play beside each other. You know, I think that Russell Westbrook in particular, with the spacing and the three-point shooters that he'll have for basically the first time in his career on a consistent basis, we should see him be a lot more efficient and a lot more capable of finishing at the basket than he was last year. He will not need to stop and pop for those 16, 18-foot jumpers, the contested threes. I think he'll have a lot better, a lot more advantageous looks at the basket this year, and particularly with the way that defenses will be trying to defend James Harden. So, I mean, the fit is, it'll be interesting. These are two very high usage guys, two guys who are used to, you know, racking up triple doubles and assuming so many possessions and so much responsibility for their teams. You know, I'm sure that Mike D'Antoni will stagger them and they'll be able to shepherd their own lineups without the other superstar on the court, and that's where a lot of their numbers will be accumulated. But it'll be very interesting to see how they're able to cooperate when they're both out there, particularly in crunch time.
That's one I got for you real quick. The NBA is talking about investigating free agency, how those deals got done before the before the 6 p.m. on June 30th. I think they can't really police that. That's going to happen. Agents and teams are going to talk, and things are going to happen that way. So you think this is a little bit of this is a PR play by the NBA or they're serious about trying to crack down on deals getting done before free agencies even opened up?
I'm not sure exactly how you, I guess, you know, lend out punishments and adjudicate this situation. It's very, very difficult, obviously, for, you know, to outlaw players from communicating with each other and trying to recruit one another to team up. I have no idea how you would be able to have punishments for something like that. But, you know, I think that it is a real concern among owners, particularly small market owners who feel very vulnerable right now, who aren't sure, you know, even if I have a superstar like Paul George under contract, what is to say that another superstar will not get in his ear and have him, you know, force a trade out? I think we saw that a few times over the past couple, or at least the past, you know, 12 months. We've seen that in the NBA a few times. So if I was a small market owner, you know, an owner of the New Orleans Pelicans, for example, with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, I think it's really difficult to not side and understand where certain owners are coming from with their frustration. But I don't know how you get it out of the game, because I think that the tampering will always exist so long as people have cell phones and are able to communicate with one another.
Yes, indeed. Well, Michael Pena, thank you for your time today, brother. Hope to do it again with you down the road, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, folks, that's Michael Pena on the Boss Man Show.
My heart skips skipping a beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me? Somebody to love.
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
Somebody to love.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, what's back here on Gerald the Boss Man Show? We got a special segment for you. Segment's for the ladies. I'm talking to the expectant moms in ATL and around the U.S. and around the world. Have a nice correspondent. She's real cool, hot energy, very vibrant. Name is Shantae. Okay. Shantae,
hey,
what's
hi.
Good with you?
What's good in the A? I am wonderful. How are you doing this evening?
I am living the dream. It's not as hot as it usually is. The Falcons are in training camp and tennis is in town, so I'm living large.
Right. This is your spot. This is your time right now, isn't it?
Very much so. I got on my Falcon gear as we speak. I'm rocking my black polo and my red visor, showing off my Falcon pride. Rise up in brotherhood. So, Shanti's going to help us today. Let's talk to some potential new moms out there, as moms are expecting. Give you all some little tips here and there to kind of help you through your 9-month journey, 40-week journey, which I learned could be 10 months, according to Shanti. She taught me that.
Yep.
So, I'm going to roll with her because she is in the midst of it. I'm going to roll with her. So, yeah. So, Shanti's due in September. And she's in her 32nd week as we speak. So she's almost at the finish line. She's almost there. She's About to get done. So Shante, let's just talk about this. So just for you, how have you managed yourself and your body as your body changes, which is out of your control? So how have you managed what you eat, what you drink, how you live your life? What's been the adjustment kind of managing this pregnancy and just knowing that you don't really have control of what's going on inside your body right now?
So the biggest thing that I've learned is that everything, I've allowed my instincts to take over. Going into it, when I first found out that I was pregnant, about seven, eight weeks in, I had all of these ideas, all of these things I was going to do. I was trying to read all the books. I was going to take all the classes. And then I decided to just pause and just let instincts take over. We have been built for this. We've been doing this since the beginning of time. And so I just listen to my body. I do go to all of my appointments. As a matter of fact, I had my appointment today. So baby's looking good. Everything is good. So it sounds like what I have been doing has been working. Everything is just listening to your body, and taking it day by day, just, you know, rolling with all the changes, dialing into my own mood and making sure that my support around me is aware. And, you know, it's been a very, very smooth, uneventful pregnancy thus far. So I'm excited.
Now, so in your appointment, so I know they measure you or whatever. So are you measuring normally? Are you ahead of schedule? Because I thought she was less long than what you told me. Because to me, you're small to me. I thought you was less than what you are when I saw you. So are you measuring at the right spot? Are you ahead of the game? Where you at in that regard?
I'm right on spot. Some of the professionals were able to look at me and they could tell that I was 32 approaching, or in my 32nd week, like you said. So I'm right on target. The baby is actually, they measured her today. She is 4 pounds, which is a little bit above what most of some of the baby books will say. So she's going to be a little chunky thing, and that's exactly what I wanted. So yeah, everything is good. And I told you, I think it was because of what I was wearing that day that may have made me appear to be a bit smaller, but the bump is bigger, and sometimes a little bit more, let's just say, reserved. So, but yeah, I'm measuring right on target, and she's gaining weight. The pictures that we took today, I can see those chunky cheeks, so she is right on target.
Yes, indeed. And folks, we will show you Shante's bump on our blog at bossmanshow.com. We're on special blogs dedicated to her and her business as well. So just look out for that. If you hear this segment, go to the website, check out her bump. We got a video for you and pictures of her bump. You can see what she's saying for live and yourself on our pictures, okay, at bossmanshow.com. And now this is another thing I like for you. How has your food intake been? Because I can see you have a baby inside of you, and I'm sure you drain a lot of your nutrients and all your energy. So how are you managing the food and drink portion of how to manage yourself so you don't be dehydrated, run out of breath, or you feel the baby getting hungry, or you have to, you know, compensate for that as well? So how has that been going for you? Get the right balance to feed the baby and yourself, keep yourself full go and not losing any energy or sleep going through this right here?
You said it. Like, basically, the baby is going to get what she needs regardless of what I take in. I do take my prenatals daily. The doctor, I talked to the doctor today. I need to be drinking at this stage in the game about 12 glasses of water every day. And honestly, that's going to be a challenge. So I'm going to have to increase my water intake. But I will say, again, it's instinctual. Your body talks to you. I was this way even before I got pregnant. Like, if your skin is dry, if your lips begin to chap or different things, or you're irregular, your body is telling you, listen, I need, you're getting dehydrated, or you need more fiber or different things like that. So I can tell you that prior to getting pregnant, I was keto. I was big on low carb and all of that. In the gym all the time, and all of that pretty much stopped.
Went out the door, huh? Fast.
It went out the door. I just couldn't maintain. But it's been fine. I'm not very sedentary. I do kind of move around as much as time allows. But I can tell you that, you know, getting my prenatals in, I'm 38 years old, so they've been watching me very, very closely, because I'm over the age of 35 and considered high risk. So I've taken all the tests, all the monitoring that they can give a person while pregnant, and everything has looked good. So I've had no issues. So I can tell you again, I mean, we worry about so much when we're pregnant. And not to say that there are hardships and situations that people go through, but ultimately, I like to think that my spirit has played a large part into how the health of my pregnancy has gone. I've just tried to maintain positive energy and maintaining a positive network. And I think that's played a huge part in just how I've been maintaining. But I can tell you that as far as physically, whether or not I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, this baby is going to get what she needs. But if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to feel sick. So I will feel weak. I will feel as though I'm exhausted, because she's going to get it. She's drawing from me. So again, we worry about it a lot, but the baby is going to get what the baby needs. We just have to do what we have to do to make sure that we maintain our health as well.
Yeah, this is a question I had. It's not what you said. You said you got to take in more water. Now, this is just me being a novice, because I don't know anything about this. But if you drink more water, that takes up more weight, right? Because I don't know how you feel inside, but aren't you running out of room in your stomach to hold your daughter, and then you add water to it, that's less room? You know what I'm just kind of thinking about?
It's just going to send me to the restroom more and probably just flush me out a lot.
Okay.
Honestly, because I'm already going pretty frequently because she's sitting on my, or laying on my platter. So ultimately, it's just going to make me flush out more. The fluid around the baby, even though I'm not getting in 12 glasses of water every day, the fluid looks good and all that. Again, she's going to get what she needs, but it's just probably going to have me flushing her, flushing me, so I probably got to pee like every hour on the hour.
Yes, indeed. You call you the squat queen, but not for the right reason.
Facts.
Yes, indeed. Now, this is another question I got from the text line about maternity clothes. A lot of women are not going to the maternity clothes, right? They're just wearing their regular clothes or buying bigger for the time being. So how have you approached the maternity clothes thing? How do you accommodate for dressing with the bump as it's grown over these past 8 months so far?
So my mom, bless her heart, she went to the store to try to get me a few maternity pieces, and I was like, no, maternity clothes have not been the cutest. I'm just going to put that out there. So, because you still want to feel comfortable and stylish enough, even though you're pregnant. So honestly, a little shameless plug here. Fashion Nova has done me so right throughout my whole pregnancy.
Fashion Nova, that's like my nightmare, Shante, because I have to constantly buy stuff from there for, you know, my lady friend. They get a lot of my money.
Let me tell you, the stuff that she is buying now, should she decide to conceive, or should you all decide to conceive, she'll likely still be able to wear it. The only thing that I have not been able, I've had to put away, are like my high-rise jeans. Anything that buttons up around my belly, I had to put away. But like a lot of the dresses, a lot of the rompers and jumpers and stuff like that, they've been my buddy. Any pants that I purchased from Fashion Nova that they're just kind of elastic around the waist, then they've been a lifesaver. So honestly, I haven't done a whole lot of shopping. I think I purchased my normal shopping, the things that I would probably buy, like the rompers and things of that nature. I've actually purchased a few more of those, but everything has been pretty standard, pretty much the same.
Yes, indeed. And that's the last question I got for you in this segment before you go to the, so tell about you and your psychology side of things and being a professional counselor. So what would you say in closing to the women I listening to, our expecting mothers currently like yourself, to our ones wanting to conceive down the road, and some moms who just want women who want information who haven't made up their mind or they want to have kids or not? What would be your lasting words to these women listening here in Atlanta and outside of our listening area around the nation and in the world?
Well, I appreciate feedback. You know, we've discussed how you can see the empowerment in me. And I honestly feel that. It's something I feel inside. So when it comes to any feedback I can give a person that is considering pregnancy or maybe just finding out that they're pregnant and maybe nervous, is to just know that we do this. We've been doing this. We are made for this. This is a time to feel badass. This is a time to try to see what affairs you can get in order, because the baby is coming. And the thing that you want to do more than anything above all is to remain positive day by day. Don't worry about anything. The best thing you could do for your family is to, for your family and yourself, is to be positive. And that's my main feedback.
And I will say, like you said, the whole time I was around you, I felt a positive energy, a vibe, and you felt empowered, like you're owning this. This bump ain't stopping me. You embracing your bump, like you, the bump is you, and you are the bump. Like you was like owning that stuff, and like you was happy. Like you were the first pregnant woman I've seen as happy, especially at the stage you're at. You know, I told you in my office, like depressed, and you're so happy. So it's to see you and your happiness and this new owningness that you're ready for this challenge and to becoming a mom for the first time and at your age doing this for the first time. I mean, I got mad respect for you, you know. So, and I saw that when I was around you, and so I hope the listeners have gotten this from our time today talking about your pregnancy and giving them some little tips and some little inspiration as they go on their journeys. And like I said, you check out the blog on thebossshow.com. You'll see Shantae's bump. You'll see some video of her bump moving. You can get a little feel for that. So you just enjoy that. And just hope you enjoyed her as well, her energy. And we'll come back in the after the break and discuss her and her professional life as a counselor that can maybe help you as well, because we all need some counseling. We all need a little advice here and there.
Sit on the couch, yes.
Indeed. So take a break on the Boss Man Show. Come back with Shantae to talk some more about her professional life as a counselor after the break. Check us out always, BossManShow.com. No doubt.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
All right, back on the Boss Man Show here with Shantae. Some more. We covered her pregnancy in the first segment, then we'll talk about her what makes her her money, her main gig, the doing psychology thing, is professional counselor, independent one. So Shantae, you know, as I told you when we met, I have a minor in psychology, so I can definitely respect what you do on the counseling side of things. So first of all, what got you into it, counseling? And secondly, what do you do in the counseling field as we speak?
So whenever, when anyone ever asked me how I, what piqued my interest initially, I got to say it was 10th grade, Towers High School, psychology class. And from then on, I was like, this is life. So that's what got me interested in psychology. And as I went along, I discovered that the counseling field was, it kind of just fit more what I wanted to do. So I went on to get my master's in counseling. I am currently an associate professional counselor. A license as an associate professional counselor in the state of Georgia. And hopefully in the next 30 days or so, I will have secured my independent licensure, because I'm putting in my application with the state as we speak. But right now, I am a team lead with Fulton County Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities, working on a reentry team for Fulton County Jail. So that's what I do currently, and I plan to, once I have the baby, I plan to get back into private practice and start seeing some clients individually, and maybe do some groups. So this is my calling. I absolutely love the field. I love the work that I do with clients. So yeah, it's just my thing.
I hear that, and I can only imagine trying to help inmates re-enter into society. That's a key component. Like, when you get in inside those walls, you get conditioned and kind of programmed. You have to deprogram them from that lifestyle to the lifestyle on the outside world. So How do you attack that approach and kind of try to change that mindset as they near the end of their sentence to come out back into the real world?
Well, the interesting thing is that as a part of my role, I don't get the opportunity to work, provide any services, meaning that I don't get to provide any counseling. Plus, I am a supervisor, so that ultimately means that I just get to delegate. But I do encourage, you do, you know, get the opportunity to use your counseling skills here and there. So where I can, I just try to instill hope and motivation. That's the biggest thing. And to let them know that, you know, whereas before, they've been living this life, but they've been living life. You know, they've been surviving the best way they know how. And so letting them know that they have the opportunity to make other effective, better choices for themselves, to accomplish goals, and to show them that there are other ways to survive. There's another side to the world outside of what they've been conditioned to see. So that's been, you know, wherever I get the opportunity to do that, although I'm responsible for delegating case management, I take it upon myself to kind of, you know, use that chance where I can get it.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, you never know when a good word or two may change a person's perspective or that path of their lives, because a simple saying can give somebody hope, you know, like,
right.
Hey, there's always an example or a circumstance or a parable in every scenario, pretty much. You can take something from it, positive or negative. It's just your choice what you choose to take from it. And I think being in the psychology field, you know, that's something that you have to really know about. And I think for me, it made me more rational. I'm already rational to begin with, but going to them classes made me even more rational. You know what I'm saying?
And so, and
it's taught me to be a good listener and really hear people out. Since like in a radio show, we take calls. I have to really lock in on what the caller's saying to be able to respond properly within 10 seconds. You know, to what they're saying. So it's very key, but like, even relationships, you know, you have to, or just in life period, you have to really, psychology is a part of our lives every day, believe it or not. You may not have the training you and I do, but there are things that we do and say that's very much psychological every day that we don't realize.
Right. the psychology of living. I think there's even a book about that. And so the thing, fortunately, my classes, my training, all of that has helped to create a bit of, I would say, a good level of emotional intelligence. Whereas, you know, a lot of us, sometimes when we're speaking, we listen to respond, which may cause us to miss out on what someone's trying to say, or the meaning behind their words, even their body language. So it helps me to really tune in to the person, where they're coming from, what might be, you know, they may be saying something without saying it. And so it really helps to kind of tune into those cues. So I'm very grateful how my training has helped me in relationships, with romantic relationships, my family, friends, professional. It's really helped a lot.
Oh, yeah, it does help. And, like, the thing I had to worry about was not becoming my woman's counselor, not becoming her shrink, because there are things I would want to say that would come off as very doctorish.
Yes.
So I have
can't
to
help it sometimes. It's just, if it's, you spend so much time, you know, throwing yourself into that. I'm sure whatever her profession is, she probably sometimes brings that into your relationship too. It doesn't mean that she's necessarily trying to nurse you or doctor you. It's just, it's a part of how, you know, she's learned to kind of deal with people.
Exactly. And you know what? That whole world, like, is quite, like, for her, she sees death every day. I couldn't do that every day, being an ER nurse. I couldn't do it. Like, I don't like seeing death now. Like, I can't deal with that as we speak. So it's like,
You got to be, like, a special kind of person to see that and just be able to maintain life, you know?
Exactly. And like you said, you're going to do a private practice when you get have the baby. I'm pretty sure you told me you did some blogging as well. And do you see yourself maybe doing, like, some YouTube, some Instagram posts with your little tips of the day? I think they'll be good for people to hear. Like, people need a minute of good energy, or a little post here and there to give them some energy. I feel like that people in our field can really help people with social media. Really helps us help people, even though it doesn't get us paid per se, but we're getting repented for by helping people give them the right mindset for the day. I try to give a lot of inspiration on every show of some sort. So I think that's, how do you feel about that as you get move into your chiropractic, as you go for your independent licensure with the state of Georgia and starting to develop your brand going forward?
Oh, definitely. You know, that's something that I admit I've struggled with in the past, just because, you know, my generation, we're kind of like caught in that space where we remember when we didn't have that, and now we're like thrust into it. And so I have to use, I know that it can be used for good. The reach that one had, the expansive, the potential to have such an expansive reach through social media platforms, be it Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. Even your show, like, you know, because at one point, this didn't even exist. So having this platform, I think, really, really helped to reach others. And so that is a definite plan for me. I had a plan for that now, but it's just, you know, I'm just so in tune with self that it's been kind of hard to make time. So I appreciate you providing me with this opportunity, because it's kind of lit a bit of a fire within me to make sure that I do, you know, spend more time using any type of influence I may have to just show people a certain way of doing things, and to know that, okay, there is someone who feels good about life regardless of circumstances. She's pregnant, about to pop, as people keep telling me when they see me, but I'm still, like, I do feel the liveliest I've ever felt. So I just think it would be, that's definitely a plan for me to use more of the social media platforms to just let people know that if I can just reach a few more people, that would be great.
I mean, you inspired me, even, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, look at you, you're happy, you're vibrant. And, you know, I was having a pretty crappy day when I saw you, but I didn't let it show you when I was with you. But you got off to a crappy start.
Even now.
But it inspired me. Like, you're pregnant, you know, you're happy, you're vibrant. I said, look, I just deal with bad employees and bad people and bad sponsors not paying me. But look, she's carrying a child. She's happy. So it made me refocus my day after I left you, believe it or not. So you inspired me even just because you got my mind back. Now, when I was with you, I didn't show it. But in my mind, it was like I was pretty fired up about what went on before I came and saw you to talk to you. So just know you inspired me even just when we met.
Nice. Nice. That means a lot, and that's what I aim to do. That's what I feel like that is why I exist, to inspire others, to use my skills, use my talent, use my passion to really just help others and show them that, yeah, you were exposed to this. Yeah, you're going through this, but no, this too shall pass. It's about what you do right now to make sure you turn the tables on how things can look moving forward.
Yes, indeed. You also taught me a lot about pregnancy when we met. So I learned and was inspired from you at the same damn time. So it's a two-for-one special. So that's what's
up. You're going to be ready when the time comes.
Yeah, I'll know more than I know before I met you, for sure. So, folks, I'm going to tell you this. So I'll be back next week to talk about men's mental health as well. We're going to have her back for that. And also, we'll talk about her pregnancy one more time in about 4 weeks, 36 weeks, because I know that for what I do know, babies can come between 37 and 40 weeks. We're going to get it at 36 weeks, so I'll let her finish off 37, do her thing, and it may come anytime. But we'll get it at 36 weeks.
Anytime, any moment. What?
So exactly. 36 weeks, we'll have her back on, so see where she's at, give you some last rights as you go for the score, the touchdown. She gets towards the end zone. What do you expect there? So, folks, we'll do that with Shante in 4 weeks there. She's doing great. Like I said, we'll have pictures up, a video as well on the blog, barbershow.com. Shante, this is the first time on the radio. You did a great job. You sound like you're very natural.
Thank you.
You have a future in this. So when you drop the little girl and you get back to yourself, where you're in that grind mode, a podcast is in your future. But we'll have you on this show to give you some practice for your own podcast.
I like you.
You're cool. We have a great rapport. We vibe really well. So I like that. We definitely have to have you on the show again down the road, Shante. Thank you for your time and your willingness to come on the show. We appreciate it so much here at the Boss Man Show.
My pleasure.
Folks, that's my Boss Man Shante. We'll talk to you next week on the Boss Man Show. Y'all hang out, hold tight, more show for you after the break.
My heart skips skipping a beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.